Well, thank you to Isaiah and to our worship leaders for leading us to that song. It's such a fitting lead into what we're going to be talking about today and shaping the generation coming after us, passing on the promise, as we just heard and we're singing together. Such a wonderful lead in to God's Word and reflecting on it today. We're going to have a couple of passages that we're going to be looking at. The first in Psalm 78, the first seven verses there, and then the second from Ephesians 6. 1 through 4, especially focusing on verse 4. So however you want to do that, if you're just going to be listening, that's great. If you want to kind of have a finger in each of those places, that's perfect too. Last couple of weeks, we've been in this series thinking about the chapters of life, different seasons of life that all of us find ourselves in, and being reminded how God has value and calling for us in each one of those. It's really the overall reminder and theme we want to keep having before us as we go through this series. That God values us, and he has a calling for us at every age and ability of our lives. All right, opportunities change as time goes on. Some of our abilities come and go as time goes on. And yet at every stage of life, at every age, every ability, God values us in that, and he has calling for us. We were reminded of that in Psalm 139 at the outset, when we were reminded that God has ordained all of our days, every single one of them, from before they even came to be. And also that God has made us wonderfully and with great purpose. So it doesn't matter what stage of life you might find yourself in. There's value in it, and there's purpose in it as well. So we thought of already in this series about the joys of childhood. Last week, Pastor Tim led us thinking about gaining wisdom, especially thinking of our young people. You can kind of see us moving along the spectrum. This week we think about shaping a generation. Maybe specifically thinking about parents with children, although with all of these messages, there's a broader reach as well. Basically, you're someone who has anybody who looks up to you. This message would apply. You could be a teacher with students, a parent, a grandparent. You could be a mentor to a mentee, right? All kinds of different ways that we can be shaping the generation coming after us. As we were thinking about that image and reflecting on it, I had a particular image that came to mind for me this week. And that was of shaping clay. Is there anybody here who's done a decent amount of this in their life? Austin, I know you did upstairs, and maybe a few others have done some shaping of clay. Hopefully I get some of the images right. I want to keep this image before us as we go throughout this message today, because it really hit home with me to think about not only how God works with us to shape us, but how we're called to work with the generation coming after us. Even if you know very little about clay and pottery, you probably get the idea that if I'm going to shape something out of clay, it helps at the outset to have the idea of what you're going to shape in mind. Now, you don't just grab a lump and say, well, we'll see what happens. It will go much better if you know what you are trying to shape. And also with that, there's many different ways you can go about shaping that clay, different techniques. How are you going to go about shaping whatever it is you're going to shape? And that was informative for me as I was reading these texts this week and reflecting on them, thinking about my own life with my children at home and, of course, pastoring in a church, thinking about shaping the generation. Those same kind of thoughts and questions come to mind. To help shape those coming after us, we need to know what form we're trying to shape them in. What is the goal? What do we want them to look like? And we also need to be aware of how that might happen. How are we going to go about shaping this next generation? I believe the words in Psalm 78 here, also in Ephesians 6, point us to the answer to both of those questions as God would speak them to us. So let's turn together first to Psalm 78 and read just the first seven verses there. It's a long psalm, and I'll encourage you to take some time and read that maybe later this day. We'll allude to some of the stories that are shared there, but we're just going to read the first seven verses, and then we'll jump over to Ephesians. This is God's word. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Let's jump over to the New Testament and the book of Ephesians. Again, Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is addressing relationships in the household, the Christian household, and he talks here to children and to parents. And like I said, we'll especially focus on verse 4, that word to fathers or to parents, but we'll consider also those first couple of verses. This is what Paul writes there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We give thanks to God. Well, first and foremost, as we are thinking about this word to us today and shaping a generation, as we've been saying throughout, I want us to hear again that God values this stage and values us who are in the midst of desiring to do this, to shape the generation after us toward the Lord and his promises and who he is. And so first and foremost, God intends us to shape those coming after us. This is how he has set things up to work. You heard it in Psalm 78, but you can see it in so many other places, right? This is how the church of God, the fellowship of God's people keeps going forward when we pass the promise one generation to the next. And so I want us to hear again, especially maybe for our parents. I know it can be difficult. I'm in this stage too, and sometimes the reception isn't the greatest from our children. But God values this process, and he values those who are practicing it, seeking to pass these promises and the faith onto the next generation. So as we'll stay with each one of these messages and each stage we might be in, be reminded again that there's great value God places on you and on this particular process of shaping the next generation. With that said, I want to get to thinking about what we are trying to shape. So that at the outset, if you have a piece of clay, it's helpful to know again, what am I trying to form here? What shape am I trying to make? And it's important as we think about the generation coming after us, what form are we trying to make them in? I think the words of the Psalm in Ephesians point us in a particular direction. We're trying to shape a generation that knows the Lord, especially through his deeds, that trusts the Lord, and because they trust him, follows him, and that also witnesses to the Lord. It's ready to keep telling that story. And of course, for us today, as we think about it, it'll all be summed up in Christ. We're really shaping a generation that looks more and more like Jesus. But let's dig into these particular three things we've named that knows and trusts and witnesses to the Lord. They all come up in Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is a teaching psalm. Now listen to my instruction. It's a psalm that is telling the story, telling the works of God, noting the failures of the past with God's people, where the generation wasn't shaped, or the generation missed who God is and what he has done, and saying, we want to tell the next generation. We want to share these stories so they can be shaped in this fashion. And first, and maybe most obviously, we can see the pointing to the deeds of the Lord. The Lord is known through what he's done. He's known through his deeds. Psalm 78, we want to tell the next generation, this is verse 4, the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. Right, we're not going to hide them from our descendants because this is how the Lord is known. He's revealed to us in this way. If you go throughout the psalm, you'll hear some of these deeds being named. Of course, think about what God displays before us in his creation. In this psalm, there's a lot of talk about how God brought his people out of Egypt. He parts the Red Sea so that they can pass through. How God provided for them in the wilderness. In these verses we read, we heard about his provision and his guidance in giving the law. Verse 5, he declared his statutes for Jacob, established the law in Israel, commanded us to pass these things on to our children. Right? These are all the deeds of the Lord that display who he is, help us to know him for who he truly is. Again, for us, we have all of that story and more now. Again, it's all summed up for us in Jesus Christ. We get to tell the story of how God came down from heaven in his son, Jesus Christ, because of his great love for us, and has gone to the cross, given his life there, shed his own blood to forgive us of our sins, has overcome sin and death in his resurrection, and now lays before us a new and living hope that we can live every single day with. We want the next generation to know this great, Almighty God. And we do so by sharing what he has done with them in his word, in our lives, in every way. And so the question for me, for you, as we're thinking about shaping this generation behind us is, are we doing that? How are we recounting the deeds of the Lord? The good news is you don't have to be a musician or a poet like David or Asaph in this psalm to be able to do that. If you are, that's great too. But any of us can say, I love the Lord because he's saved me, because he's gone to the cross for me, because he gives me his Holy Spirit to follow me each day, because he guides me through his word, he provides, whatever it might be. We need to be recounting that to our children, to our students, to whoever God has given us to shape in our lives, because we want the next generation to know the Lord. We also want the next generation to trust the Lord, and in trusting him, follow him. Psalm 78 talks about that. Verse 7, hearing the works of the Lord, hearing about all these things that God has done, knowing him, then this generation would put their trust in God, not forget his deeds, and keep his commands. The one who trusts in the Lord also follows the Lord. That word there for trust is confidence, reliance upon God, because he's faithful and he proves it o'er and o'er. Because God is the one who's bringing us, as David writes elsewhere, to green pastures, beside quiet water. He's leading us to good things, and we see that already. Again, we want to build up this trust in the Lord. We want to, as Deuteronomy 6 says, impress these things on our children, the next generation. And again, how do we go about doing that? Well, we want to give a picture of what that looks like in our lives too. We want to be showing how we trust in the Lord, how we follow his ways, how we consider what he's saying to us as we make decisions. Don't just rely on my wisdom or the wisdom of other people. We look to the Lord. We rely on him. We trust his goodness. He is faithful. We want to see our children interacting with the Lord that way, relying on him. In so many ways, when Paul writes many years later in Ephesians 6, and he writes to children, that could be any of us in our lives at any stage, to obey our parents. He says, this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord. He points, of course, to the fifth commandment. But in so many ways, the pointing there is that, as Paul's writing to Christian parents in specific, the picture there is that in that relationship, as you have parents that are seeking your good and seeking to lead you to the Lord, as you're obeying them, you're getting a picture of what it's like for all of us to relate to God. As Jesus teaches and speaks to his disciples, he says, you know, if you, even though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, to take care of them and provide for them and look out for their good, how much more, Jesus says, won't your heavenly Father give you good gifts, including even his own Spirit? Right, so as we think about the relationship with those behind us and shaping the generation, we, of course, are desiring what's best for them. We want to be faithful in that relationship, pointing them to what's good, because we want them to see the greater goodness of the Lord, the greater faithfulness and holiness of the Lord. We want them to see how he has what's best in mind for them, to trust in the Lord, so to be shaped into his image more and more. And then finally, too, we want the next generation to be those who are shaped in a way that they too are ready and willing to tell the story. And it's true that those who love the Lord tell his story. This is implied, of course, throughout the psalm and throughout all of Scripture, but it's stated specifically there in verse 6. We want the next generation to know the works of the Lord, to know his ways, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. One generation proclaims to the next the greatness of our God. Again, this is how God has set things up to work, that we would continually pass this on generation to generation. And again, the reminder to me too is, are we singing the story of God in our lives, to our children, to those students we are given to teach, to those we're mentoring in our lives, our grandchildren, whoever it might be? Are we singing that story? Right, a child doesn't get up here and sing that song and lead us and then have that idea without people in their lives singing that song to them, telling them the story of God and his Son Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit coming to us. Right, how are we telling the story to that next generation? It's great to tell the story of our family It's great to tell the story of our country. It's great to tell the story of what's going on in the world, but this should be the first story on our lips. It is the story, and it's our story, the story of God with us. Are we shaping the next generation by sharing that story with them so that they too have the language, Lord willing, one day to shape the generation coming behind them to tell the wonderful deeds of the Lord? So we need to know what we are trying to shape the next generation into, a generation that knows the Lord, that trusts Him, that's ready to tell the story. And ultimately, like we said, this is a generation that looks like Jesus. It's all summed up in Him. This made me think back in seminary, taking a systematic theology course, which had a lot of heavy thinking and heavy reading assignments. And our professors would say, you need to read these couple hundred pages before our next class, and then you need to write 50 words, just 50, summing it all up. And it was challenging to do so often, but it was a good exercise. Now think about Jesus. All the things that God has said and done, all the words of His law, all of it is summed up in one word. The Word became flesh, Jesus Christ. So as we're thinking about what it looks like, what we want the next generation to look like, it's Jesus. No one knows God the Father like Jesus, who's in the closest possible relationship to Him. No one trusts in God the Father like Jesus does. As we see as He walks on this earth, even as He's going to the cross, He puts His life, Father, into Your hands, I commit my spirit, trusting that God would raise Him again. No one tells the story of God and who He is and what He's done like Jesus tells it and shows it. The kingdom of God is like this, Jesus says. And He keeps putting it on display over and over. That's what we want the next generation to be shaped like Jesus. But that means we need to know what Jesus looks like, doesn't it? I mean, you could tell me, hey, here's some clay, make a bowl, Dan. And I'd say, well, I've never seen a bowl in my life, but I'll give it a try. How is that going to go? Probably not well. It's probably going to look nothing like a bowl. I could say all I want to myself, to you, we need to shape the generation after us to look like Jesus. But if we don't know what He looks like, how do we think that's going to go? We're just going to shape them how we think they should look. We're after different goals. If you're in a position where you have an opportunity to shape those coming after us, we need to know what Jesus looks like. We need to continually be shaped by God in our lives. We need to be in His Word. We need to be thinking about what Jesus says to us and His will is for our lives, the way He goes about His life and relating to the people around Him, the way He points everything back to God the Father, that sacrificial love He displays. All right, if we want our children to know the Lord, to trust Him, to tell His story, we need to know what He looks like too. Instead of maybe complaining about the generation coming after us, this morning can we commit again to investing with them the shaping that God has called us to? So we need to know what we're trying to shape our children into, but we also need to think about how we go about that shaping. Bring up that photo again of the clay and the potter there. You might know this, maybe not, I had to do some research on it, but there's lots of different ways you can go about shaping clay. Maybe some of us think right away of the potter's wheel, right, kind of spinning and shaping, and I learned that's actually pretty difficult to do. You don't just sit down and start doing that. It takes a lot of skill, a lot of practice. There's other ways you can do this. There's injection molding, there's casting, there's pressing, none of which that I've done, but maybe some of you have. But these are all ways you can shape clay. But the most universal way, the most personal, the most intimate way, the way that's been done for the longest time, is to shape by hand. It's the way that God speaks to us in Scripture when He says, I am the potter, you are the clay. He has that kind of personal, intimate, time-taking method in mind. And I believe this points us to the way we are called to shape the generation behind us. I think it points to the word that Paul shared in Ephesians 6, verse 4, particularly. Fathers, don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So how are we to shape the generation behind us? I'm say three things again. By being in relationship, close relationship with them in all areas of life, with sensitivity to the different needs and personalities of all of these people we're being called to shape, and not with my goal in mind, but with God's goal in mind. So first and foremost, this is to be done in a close relationship, by journeying with those we're called to shape that have been entrusted to us in all areas of life. Right, Paul in verse 4 there of Ephesians 6 says, you're to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's not something that happens just kind of flying in from time to time. That's something that happens daily, right? As much as we're able to invest with those coming after us in this shaping, this training. Think about the way Jesus relates to his disciples, how he goes with them. He's always there with them and he's guiding them, sometimes correcting them or rebuking them. Sometimes training them and teaching them. Sometimes sending them out on their own so they could learn and sometimes stumble but be gained through that and conversing. And he's journeying with them. It's again a beautiful picture of how we are to shape the generation coming after us. It's to be this kind of personal, intimate relationship. As I thought this week about some of the things that might exasperate or upset or frustrate or anger our children, the generation coming after us, it made me think of how sometimes in our lives, authority shows up only to discipline. You know what I'm talking about? How sometimes in our lives, maybe Paul especially is here speaking to fathers who had unchecked authority in the home at that point, legal, physical, every single way. They could basically do whatever they wanted with their wives, with their children. And Paul says, it needs to be different in a Christian household. Don't exasperate your children. Don't only just show up when it's discipline time. You need to be there through all of it, shaping. Right? This is true for all of us, mothers, fathers, teachers, whoever has an opportunity to shape a generation. Right? As much as we can, we need to be there, yes, at times to correct, but also to encourage, to rejoice with, to teach for every aspect of life. And when it comes time for discipline in that time of life, it will be received much better because we're not just there for one purpose, to tell them where they're wrong or how they need to get things right, but in every area of life, right? This personal, intimate journeying with those we're called to shape. Secondly, we're called to do this with sensitivity. With sensitivity, say it this way, relating with awareness to those coming after us. There it goes. So that nothing takes away from what God is intending here. Paul says, don't provoke your children to anger. Again, don't exasperate them. Be aware of their needs, their age, their ability, their personality. You know it's true that not all of us are the same. We're all different. Even parents, if you have multiple children, you know that even though there's a lot of shared DNA, each of those children's different. You have to speak to them maybe a slightly different way. Care for them a little differently. That's the way to go about this if we're really going to shape the next generation. Right? Think about the way God relates to us. He cares for us. He speaks to us in all kinds of different ways so that his truth might get through to us. Right? He displays his works in creation. He says, well, if you love nature, I'll get through to you that way. If you love art, God will get through to us in that way, in music, and in the spoken word, and through logic. And God has no shortage of ways he tries to get through to us that we be shaped after him. Really saying to us, to those I've entrusted to your care for them to the same amount I care for you, the same kind of way I care for you. In some ways, I might wish my children were exactly the same so I could just take some sort of model and just put it on both as I parent. That doesn't work. And even as a pastor, I sometimes might wish that I could just come to each and every one of you and pastor you exactly the same way, but it doesn't work. You're all different. Different experiences, different stories, different personalities, different cultures. We need to be sensitive to that as we're shaping the generation behind us, to be aware of their needs because we don't want anything to get in the way of what God is doing and the ultimate goal of being shaped after Christ. Again, think of the way that God speaks to us, just of what he's done for us in Jesus Christ. Knowing how different all of us are, God wants to get through to us that message that we would know it and believe it. So one of you might say, you know, I'm a relational person. That's how I learn things in relationship. And God says, well, that's wonderful. Let me tell you about what I've done for you in Jesus Christ through the language of reconciliation. Like two friends that have fallen apart coming back together, that's what Jesus does for you and for me. Another says, you know what? I have a legal kind of logical thinking kind of mind. God says, that's wonderful. Let's talk about justification. And now I have declared you not guilty and righteous in my sight through the blood of Jesus Christ. Someone else says, you know, I'm a financial thinker and transactions and numbers. And God says, great, let me tell you about redemption. How in Jesus Christ you've been bought with a price. How he has paid the debt for your sins. Someone else says, I'm a competitor, I'm a fighter, I'm a warrior. God says, wonderful. Let me tell you about triumph and victory. How in Jesus Christ you are victorious over the evil one. He's been defeated under your feet through Jesus. And we can go on and on. Right? God cares for us in that way. And he says to us, you need to shape the generation behind us similarly. Be aware of their needs. Be aware of their abilities. Be aware of their personality. And even though it's sometimes hard, speak to them in that way. Shape them in that way so that nothing gets in the way of what God intends. And then lastly, and fairly quickly on this one, we need to keep God's goal in mind. Again, not my goal or our goal. We might have some good ones that fall under that, but it's God's goal, that the next generation, that all of us will be shaped after Christ. The goal with my children is not that they would obey me or love me or follow me. As much as I might want that, and I hope it happens, that's not the goal. And it shouldn't really drive my decisions and the way I interact with them. Right, the goal is that they would love Christ, follow him, trust in him. In the same way in our church, right, as we think about that, we got to keep the goal, God's goal in mind. We can have all kinds of other good goals beneath that, right? That our children would learn some of the songs that we love, that they would learn to sit well in church. Those might be good goals, but they're not the goal. And ultimately, they shouldn't drive the way we interact with the generation behind us. The question should be, how does this help them know Christ more and trust him and be shaped in his image? God is calling us. He's entrusting us in his Holy Spirit to shape the generation coming behind us. As we think about that and ponder it, and trust me, I will continue to do so as well. Just wanted to bring that picture again up one more time of the potter with the clay. As you think about that shaping that happens, when that's all done, what goes on next? That clay is put in the fire. It's fired. And when that process is done, that shape is what it is, irreversibly. Think about the importance of what we're talking about today and what God calls us to. We know there's going to be all kinds of fires in life that our children, the next generation, are going to be faced. As we are shaping them, Lord willing, in the image of Christ, when they go through those fires, they'll just be set even more in his shape. Not in the shape of this world, not in my shape, but in the shape of Christ. And it's a reminder to all of us, too, that ultimately we all go through that last fire, the fire of death itself. And God promises us we've been shaped in faith in Jesus Christ and after his way, that that moment will just irreversibly set us in the image, in the shape of Christ. Not only is that what we want for ourselves, that's what we want for the generations coming after us, one generation to the next, until the Lord returns, until that day comes and we're all there together before the Lord, knowing him, and finally and fully being like him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks this day that you are a God who seeks to mold us from the very beginning after your image. That even when we've fallen away from that, run away from it, you've pursued us in your own Son, given the gift of the Holy Spirit to make this happen once more. Father, we're humbled that you would place upon us the calling to be shaping the generations coming after us. Many of us have that opportunity in some way, shape, or form. We pray, Lord, for the presence, the power of your Holy Spirit with us, that we might be shaping this generation as you intend, after your image, to know you, to love you, to follow you, We pray, Lord, that we would keep singing this song together. The great God you are. The wonders that you have done. Keep looking forward with hope, too, to the day we will all sing together. The greatness of our God. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.